Oh, you'll be taken care of by the owner, Stuart Rosenblum. 314-324-4440. It's your money. Don't waste it. Call Stuart now. 324-4440 or online at stuartsamc.com.
American Mortgage Corporation, number 226715, NMLS, number 2675699.
Hi, Mark Goldstein here for Edwards Carpet. Happy New Year, St. Louis, from all of us at Edwards. It's just crazy that so many of you are dealing with the aftermath of flooding, and it's January. Edwards has been locally owned and operated since 1939, and this is a first. We've put this sale together specifically for those affected by all this water, and for those of you not affected, well, it's even better for you. For basements, we have waterproof products starting at only $4.99 a square foot installed, and if you have to replace carpet, we have five different lines on sale for $2.99 a square foot, completely installed with premium pad. And if you just have to have top-of-the-line carpet, how about a 65-ounce, 25-year warranty carpet for only $4.99 a square foot? Prices on these products have never been lower. Carpet prices include 7/16 inch, 8-pound pad, installation and the moving of your furniture. Reserve your flooring now, and we'll install it when you're ready. Come on down to Edwards and let us help you with any of your flooring needs. I hope we see you soon.
Come on down to Edwards Carpet Store.
Have you been thinking about retirement living lately? The Willows at Brooking Park offers exceptional apartment homes in a close-knit community in Chesterfield. You'll appreciate the great amenities like casual and fine dining options, full-service salon and spa, indoor pool and hot tub, lively game room, and a spacious theater for concerts and lectures. And now, the Willows is branching out with 45 brand new apartment homes. Choose from over a dozen popular floor plans with lots of style and finish combinations so you can create a customized living space that reflects your personal taste. To arrange a tour or get access to limited-time pre-construction pricing, call 314-576-0800 or visit online at newwillows.com and see why the Willows is the right choice for active seniors. The Willows at Brooking Park is an equal opportunity senior community sponsored by St. Andrews Resources for Seniors System. Call today at 314-576-0800 or visit newwillows.com.
Scott Sherman's in the house. We have not spoken with Scott Sherman for 3 weeks. It's been a long time.
I missed you, Frank.
Well, we're not going to do the official introduction to the segment where people can ask you legal questions, but I do want to let people know you're in here because there's something I want to talk about, and then I want to get your take on it, and it may not be with whatever you call it where a lawyer specializes in a certain area. It may be out of your area of expertise, but I think you'll have a pretty good answer. Here's the deal. A listener sent me a video, and I've seen these videos before, and in so many words, the listener said, boy, here's a guy who set the cops straight. He knows his rights, and he shut them down. Not in those words. So I watched the video. It goes for 17 minutes, and it's a guy that has four cameras in his car, and he's a former police officer. He says he quit the force because he got tired of the corruption. I'm sure there's another side to that story, maybe. So he's pulled over because he now works as a private detective, and he's following a woman. That's what he's been hired to do. Follow her, see where she goes. So this police officer pulls the guy over. And, folks, if you want to go on YouTube, you can watch hours and hours of these. These are people who know their constitutional rights. And to me, quite frankly, they make me sick, and I think most of them are jerks. And I'll give you an example. Is this guy. Police officer pulls him over and couldn't have been nicer and said, sir, can I see some identification? And he said, I don't know. And he says, well, we got a call from a lady who thinks you're following her. Were you following her? And he says, I don't have to answer your questions. And this goes 17 minutes. Everything they ask him, he says, can I go? Am I being detained? Have I committed a crime? And the officer says, no. He says, then why am I being detained? He said, well, you can only pull me over. You can only question me if you suspect me of committing a crime. What have I done to cause you to suspect me of being a committing crime, and what crime have I committed? It goes on and on and on. And finally, they let him go. He never showed them a license, never showed them an insurance card, never gave them his name. But he asked the officers, what is your name? I want your name and your badge number. To each of three officers who eventually pulled up, and he says, I have the right to know by law, you have to tell me who you are. And they said, well, what is your name? He said, constitutionally, I don't have to tell you my name, and I don't have to answer your question. Now, I've seen these videos before, and I know that right now in this country, for a multitude of reasons, there's this sentiment that, oh, the cops are bad, and the cops step over the line, and blah, 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 blah. And I know there have been some cops that shot some people they shouldn't have shot. Okay, we all know that. That's always been the case. Since the beginning of the time, when there were police, there were cops that would take money from the evidence room. Okay, we know that. But I think we also know that for every one of those, there are 1,000 cops that do the job the way they're supposed to do it. Now, here's my point. You knuckleheads that seem to get a big kick out of, and you do have the right to video, I believe. I'm not a lawyer. Scott is. We'll talk about it here. You have the right to video or record the audio of an encounter with the police, and they don't have the right to tell you to shut it off. But just because you don't have to do something, or because constitutionally you have the right not to, really, is that really, does it really mean that that's a good idea to not help the police out? Is it such a bad thing if they say, could I see your license or register? Sure. Now, yeah, constitutionally, you don't have to do that unless you are suspected of committing a crime. And they said, they asked this guy, were you following that woman? And he says, I don't have to answer that. And they said, well, he said, what difference does it make to you? Is that against the law to follow somebody? And the police officer, again, very nicely says no, but stalking is against the law. He says, so you're accusing me of stalking. The guy was a complete a-hole to me. Now, the guy who's the a-hole in the car is not doing anything illegal and has every right to be an a-hole. My point is this. If you haven't done anything and a cop pulls you over and all they want is to ask you, hey, could we see some... Give it up. The heck? So here's my question to Scott Sherman. Let's start with this. Is it true, and again, I don't think it's a good idea to do this, is it true that when a police officer pulls you over, you don't have to answer one thing? You don't have to show them anything? If all they're doing is pulling you over because somebody called and said this guy's weaving or he did something suspicious, just because they... And the way the cops put it was... Lady said somebody's following her and your car matches the description. And this guy says, well, did she say it was me? Did she name me by name? He was a complete jerk. So first question, does a citizen in this country have the right to say to a cop, and some of them actually just say, go F yourself. I'm not do they have the right to do that?
I want to answer this carefully because I've gone into this issue before. And it's really important for people to get this right. It used to be that you had the right to tell some police officer to go stick it.
Yeah.
And that changed in 2005. There was a case, and I resisted the temptation to go digging around it. It was in Colorado. It was about somebody that was loitering. And the question on the table that the Supreme Court answered was, does the person who is the suspect of something illegal, just the suspect, do they have to give their identification? Do they have to give their name? And the answer now is yes. You cannot tell them just to stick it if they have reasonable suspicion for the stop, and in particular in a car stop, because the reason that police officers pull people over in the first place is not based on a level of evidence called probable cause. That's to make an arrest. But in a car, in particular, and this is a car case, it's only to interact with that person. It's reasonable suspicion. So if a reasonable police officer would believe that that person is up to no good, they're in the wrong neighborhood at a particular time, somebody called on the phone and said, hey, a brown Buick is in my neighborhood circling around, that would be reasonable for that police officer to interact with that particular suspect. So in this particular case, this jerk was wrong. He was wrong because the Supreme Court said that if there's reasonable suspicion, you have to give pedigree information to the officer.
You know what his response to the reasonable suspicion was? They said, well, the lady called and said somebody who matched your description driving a car like this was following her. And he says, oh, so you believe everything somebody tells you? He says, well, how about this, officer? Two blocks back, some guy was shooting at me and had a gun. Go get him. This guy was a complete a-hole. No, he really was.
And you know, there are tons of a-holes who I will defend their right to do a-hole stuff, like flag burners. I mean, you have the constitutional right to burn American flag. What moron in their right mind would ever do something like that?
Okay,
it's protected.
Here's another good example.
But this guy, even though he may or may not have been either polite or a jerk, and the reason it's got your attention is because he was rude, he was a fool, and he did something to a police officer that was just not only doing his job, but doing his job properly.
All right,
let me
say
this. There's no reason to be disrespectful.
Let me say this to all of you people who think you're going to put a camera, two cameras, three cameras in your car. Go ahead. You go ahead and do that. You talk to the police that way if you want to. And let's just say there's nothing they can do about it. I pity you. The day you need a cop or the day you actually do run a stoplight and that same guy pulls you over, good luck to you. You're not making any friends in the police department by acting like this.
Yeah, not only are you not doing that, but even to clients that have come to me or colleagues of mine and claimed some violation of their civil rights, where the cop was the jerk, where the cop was violating or what they thought was violating their rights, the advice to the client and the advice to all people out there is, be as polite and respectful and professional to that person, if for no other reason is they have a gun and a badge and they can take you to jail. But the better reason to do that is if you treat a person with respect, no matter what their profession is, either you will get respect in return or you will sort of fetter out those that don't belong in that profession. If you have a chip on your shoulder, you will invite a negative response.
And let me say this, you'll also invite this. If the police department has tagged you as an a-hole and it's someone disrespectful to them, don't think for a minute when you go through town, the word has been put out, the first time this jerk doesn't use
spits
his turn
on
signal,
a side
runs a stop sign, rolls through a stop line, let's get him. We're going to get they're after you. They're going to be after you. They are, and rightfully so.
Yeah. And to pick up on this particular, let's call him the jerk. The jerk's response was illegal. It was not a lawful response to the officer's lawful stop. It wasn't like the cop was profiling. It wasn't like the cop was fishing. It wasn't as though the cop didn't have reasonable suspicion to answer enough questions. And there's a case which I don't have to look up because it just happened in 2014 or 15 at the Supreme Court called Rodriguez. That police officer under the Rodriguez standard has the right to investigate that traffic stop as long as it takes for that officer or reasonable officer to clear his mind that what they were investigating either was something rising to the level of issuing a ticket or an arrest or to let that person go. And it came in the context of a drug case where that officer in that particular case pulled somebody over for a tail light or driving on the wrong side, had a reason to pull them over, but delayed the stop and made small talk so that they what he really wanted to do was get the drug-sniffing dogs in there. The court was clear. Hey, it's proper to pull that person over for the tail light or driving on the wrong side of the road, but until you find something that can extend the time, you only have a reasonable time to clear him. Had the jerk just said, you know what, officer, I was a police officer.
He did.
I'm a private investigator. I appreciate the fact that you're concerned about the community. Here are my credentials. I am on a job.
Okay, that's exactly what I was about
had
to say.
Had he done that, that officer, this officer, would have let him go.
And they let him go anyway. He wore them out. He wore them down.
But that's not what should be done.
Okay, I don't know why he didn't say, yes, I was following her.
Yeah.
I'm a private investigator. Her husband's hired me. Here are my credentials. Any more questions? Can I go? I don't. Why? What is so wrong with that? You know, it's kind of like this. If Mike Dorsey, who runs this place, came to me and said, hey, Frank, will you help me move this table in the conference room? I could say to him, and I would be in my right, within my rights to say it, I don't have to do that. I'm not hired here to move tables. but I'm not going to do that. I'll go, sure, and help him move the table. And it's kind of the same thing. Just because you don't have to answer certain questions, and look, even with me, there's a limit. I had a cop tell me 2 months ago, a cop told me this. He says, you never have to let a police officer search your car.
That's right.
He said, in fact, don't. He said, you didn't hear this from me. I'm not going to mention his name. It's not a cop that anybody here knows. I was out of town visiting people. And he said, my advice, never let a police officer search your car. And I said, well, what if you say no? That looks a little suspicious. He says, maybe it's just you not wanting to be violated, your privacy. And he said, I said, well, won't they hold you till they get a warrant? He said, no.
And now that Rodriguez case came out, they can't. They got your ticket for speeding. As long as it takes to check you for warrants, check your pedigree information, make sure the car's not stolen, and write the summons for the ticket for speeding, that is as long as those officers have. What this jerk probably did was give that officer enough additional suspicion that there might have been probable cause at that point to make an arrest. Hey, he's being evasive enough on rather innocuous questions that he might be following her. Let's get him. Let's impound his car. Let's put him on a 24-hour hold. And let's teach him that when we have reasonable suspicion, especially a former cop or claims to be, knows that I have a legitimate right as a law enforcement officer to ask him enough questions that a reasonable officer would be satisfied that whatever I was suspicious about ain't the case. Okay, the guy's working on a job. That's fine. You're free to go. But if you start telling me I can do this and I can do that and I'm not going to tell you this and that, that is as suspicious
to me
a drug courier.
You're waving a huge red flag. Yeah,
that's right.
When
so
you do that.
So your police officer, friend, or associate is absolutely right. That's Rodriguez. Is enough times for them to clear you of something they actually had a right to pull over. Oh, and the officer has the right for reasonable suspicion, and since that 2005 case that came out of Colorado, you have to give your pedigree information. People don't like that, but for this jerk to lecture this officer with outdated illegal information is not only wrong, but dangerous. Right. It could have led to a much worse situation.
I've heard police officers ask this question, Do you have any weapons in this car? Now, constitutionally, you can say that's none of your business. Right, correct? I don't have to answer that.
Right, because that's not the reason for you to stop. It's irrelevant to the... If you run through a stop, not that you would ever do that. Let's say it was Ian.
Peon would do it.
Run a stop
law breaker.
Sign. You know, he don't even talk.
Yeah.
If he runs a stop sign and they pull him over and they say, do you have any weapons in this car? Well, what does that have to do with running a stop sign? Now, if he's brandishing out the window or something, that would be the reason to ask that.
Now, I've heard them ask this. Where are you headed?
None of their business.
You do not. Well, here, Scott, it's none of their business. But I've been stopped and I've had a cop say, where you headed at 1 in the morning, okay?
Well,
I tell them, constitutionally, I can say, that's none of your business. I don't feel good telling a cop that's none of your business, unless it's something really personal.
Here's where it might be. If you're over, and you would never be, but again, Ian would, over on Route 3 North in Illinois, over off Highway 70, where some of the ballet is hosted, and they stop him on Route 3 North at 1 o'clock in the morning and say, where are you headed? Because that's an area of, he won't admit it, illegal activity goes on over there. That then would be a legitimate series of questions. So I like your approach professionally and for the community. And also, you know when a cop is looking for trouble and kind of cross the line. Why antagonize that person?
When a police officer says to me, so where are you headed at 3 a.m.? Unless I'm headed to buy heroin, I don't have any problem saying I'm on my way home. I got stopped many, many years ago. I think it was Centralia, which is a pretty good little haul from here. Mm-hmm. And it was 2 o'clock in the morning. And I was actually lost. I can't find my way anywhere. These guys will tell you. I can't find anything. And I couldn't find Interstate 64. And he stops me because I ran a stop sign. There's probable cause. There's a reason to pull me over. And then when he said to me, and he saw I lived in St. Louis, he said, what are you doing? 2 o'clock. I could have said, none of your business. You stopped me for running a stop sign. Where I'm going is none of your business. I got news for you. I'm not comfortable doing that because now, in my mind, we're going to have some problems.
And you're right. And you're right. And depending on the time of day and all the rest, the question about the guns is irrelevant. But yeah. For most people, being evasive or being antagonistic goes nowhere
fast. It doesn't work.
Fast. Not only does it not work, but it could add to them having enough what they think is probable cause to pull you out of the car, put you in handcuffs, and take you to jail. Right. They have that authority to do
that. I want you, if you haven't done it, when you get a minute, I want you to go on YouTube,
yeah,
and a search bar, I want you to put citizens letting cops know their rights. That's all you have to put in there.
Yeah.
Hours and hours of these people who, with the window barely cracked, and one of them, I saw a guy, he wouldn't give the cop his license.
In Florida.
He says, I'm not giving you my license. He held it up to the window and said, there.
Yeah, the guy in Florida. I saw it.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Folks, listen to me. I don't know what's happened here. I sort of do. Ferguson and a couple of other incidents that were the cops were justified to be arrested. They should go to jail. It's a handful of incidents. We have to be part of putting a stop to this incredible disrespect that is shown to the police officers. My goodness, is it such a horrible thing to say, good evening, officer, what can I do for you? And if you just kind of see your license, yes, sir. Is that a big deal?
There are some people that just want confrontation.
Well, and they should get it. They should get it.
Yeah, when a cop pulls them over, they have no respect. They don't care.
When I rode New Year's Eve night with a county police officer, and I watched this girl in a parking lot to two police officers say, go F yourself. And as they finally walked away, it was a confrontation. She and her boyfriend were getting into it. And so once they realized, hey, there's no real assault here, there's no charges filed, they're walking. As he's walking away, she yells across the parking lot, you effing retard, to the police officer. Now, I wanted to get out of the car and slap her. I mean, I just did. I wanted to go over and go, what is the matter with you, you bitch? He's a police officer. Can't you at least just show some? You don't have to do everything they ask.
And the place and the time and the manner with which to dispute whatever allegation that officer may be making, pull a ticket, whatever, is not there. It's not then, and that's not who and not how. The place with which to dispute an allegation
is in court.
Is in court with a lawyer in front of a judge.
Right.
Don't do it on the street. You're making it worse for all of us in the sense that society is already a place of disrespect and of disrespectful people.
But there's something bad going on right now toward the cops, and
yeah,
I don't like it.
I agree.
I don't like crooked cops, but even more, yeah, I don't like this lumping them all into this category lately of they're all crooked and they're all in on all this together. And things like this, making a murderer, don't help. But it's a true story. It does happen. It happens. But it's not the norm, and it's not most cops. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to do some business.
I agree.
We're going to come back. We're going to play your theme music. And, folks, if you want to call, if you have a question for Scott Sherman, now's the time. Free legal advice. Scott, what would this cost normally? About $8,000, I think, isn't
it?
$10,000. That's what you're saving by calling. I'm going to give you the number. We'll do a break. Get some business done. We'll come back. And your questions for Scott Sherman, 314-969-KTRS, which is 969-5877. 888-550-KTRS, or from a cell phone, and I've now decided that's almost everybody, star KTRS. For 40, we just rolled over into, it is now 43 years. Close enough, it will be in a couple of months, that I've been a patient at Ballast Dental Care. Ballast Dental Care is at the corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads. If they ever move, and one of the intersecting streets is not Ballast, I'm sure they'll still keep the name. I hope they never move. And even if they did, if Ballast Dental Care moved to Centralia and it became Centralia Dental Care and it was the same people, that's where I'd go twice a year. I'm not kidding. I don't want to go anywhere else. And I don't think you'll want to go anywhere else either once you have your first appointment at Ballast Dental Care. Going to the dentist is one of those things that for lots of people, it's just not a pleasant experience. And it doesn't have to be that way, and it's not that way at Ballast Dental Care. I wish you could see every email that I get and have gotten for the last 16 years about Ballast Dental Care. I've read every one of them. so I know it's not just me. I'm not the only one that doesn't dread an appointment and even looks forward to it. Ballast Dental Care. You want to know more? You want to call them, set up an appointment? They'd love to have you as a patient. Be sure to please tell them your AM and the PM. BallastDentalCare.com. Don't go away. We come back. Your questions and the phones are all lit up for Scott Sherman on the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
Let's get a check on traffic now, and here's Tim Weiland.
All right, we've got some problems out on the highways now. On westbound 70 before Highway 270, a stalled tractor trailer is what's causing this backup. It's blocking the center lane. Solid jam back to Highway 170. We have northbound 170. It's pretty jammed up between south of Highway 70 up through Airport Road. A crash blocking the two left lanes on eastbound 270. At Newhall's Ferry, that has things backed up to McDonald. Southbound 270, they've cleared the accident that was at Marshall Road, but it's stop and go from Page all the way down through Highway 44. And westbound 40, we are slowing from Kings Highway through McCausland, from Clayton Warson out through Mason. This report is brought to you by Little Caesars, home of the large $5 hot and ready pepperoni pizza. Or you could try Little Caesars' large, deep, deep dish pizza for just $8 at participating locations plus tax. I'm Tim Weiland from the Big 550 KTRS Traffic Center.
It's time for the women to have their turn. Tonight, the Mizzou women's basketball team travels to Georgia to take on the Bulldogs. Catch all the action right here at 6 p.m. on your home of the Missouri Tigers, the Big 550 KTRS. We are our Mizzou.
It's the 26th anniversary of St. Louis's largest cruise show, Brentwood Travel's 26th Annual Cruise Expo. Friday through Sunday, January 22nd through the 24th. They're celebrating big with special anniversary prices, and it's free. You'll get a $25 Macy's gift card or maybe more when you book at the show. With 16 of the world's top cruise lines represented in one place, you'll find large ships, small ships, river cruises, sailing ships, and more. Along with fantastic deals, there'll be a variety of bonuses like cabin upgrades, onboard gratuities, free shore excursions and onboard credits, even free airport parking at the parking spot. And someone will win a free Royal Caribbean cruise for two, just for registering. Celebrate 2016 with a truly special vacation, starting at Brentwood Travel's free Cruise Expo, January 22nd through the 24th at West County Center, I-270 and Manchester Road. Don't book anywhere until you've talked with the experts at Cruise Expo.
Some offers are for selected departures only. Restrictions apply on all gifts and promotions.
Hey, I have rhythm. I love to dance, and I've been told that I dance pretty well. But I'm also totally blind, which means that sometimes my circadian rhythms can get totally out of step with the world around me. Circadian rhythms are regulated by our internal master body clock. But because I can't perceive light, my body clock simply doesn't know what time it is. This can have me wide awake in the middle of the night and fighting to stay awake during the day. That can affect relationships and make it difficult to be productive at work. And it can make every day a real challenge. It's not my imagination. It's called non-24, and it affects up to 70% of people who are totally blind. So if you're like me, you're not alone, and there is hope. Call 855-856-2424 today, or visit learnmorenon24.com to find out more about non-24. Because learning more about non-24 is the first step to getting your rhythm back.
Sponsored by Vanda Pharmaceuticals.
Are you ready to take your education to the next level? Arizona State University now offers over 90 top-tier degree programs, 100% online. With ASU's highly ranked online programs, you'll earn the same degree as our on-campus students, with the ability to learn wherever you want, whenever you want. Same world-renowned faculty, same leading education, same global recognition from one of the top universities in the world. Call 1-800-400-9937. That's 1-800-400-9937.
I'm Jamie from Sherman Oaks, and I just graduated with my degree from Arizona State University. I chose ASU because I received the quality education I deserve in the major I wanted, all from my home.
Jamie's not the only one to earn a degree from ASU. There are over 90 degree programs offered 100% online from one of the top universities. Now's the time to learn more about earning your degree online from Arizona State University. Call 1-800-400-9937. That's 1-800-400-9937.
It's not fair.
If you suffer from hearing loss, you have two choices. Wear a hearing aid that makes you look old, or miss out on what's going on around you. That's completely unfair. You deserve a better choice. That's why we're now offering free in-home trials of a revolutionary hearing breakthrough called ListenClear. We'll even give you free shipping and free batteries for life. Call us now. 1-800-500-0409. ListenClear is precisely designed by top audio engineers. It adjusts to let you find the perfect way to hear everything, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. And ListenClear is so invisible, people may not even know you're wearing it. And it's so lightweight, you may forget you're wearing it too. You deserve to hear everything more clearly again for free with a 100% free in-home trial, free shipping, and free batteries for life. For free information, call now. 1-800-500-0409. That's 1-800-500-0409. 1-800-500-0409.
Hey, you! Know what happens when your CPAP system gets dirty? Germs like me move in and wreak havoc. Remember that respiratory infection you had a while back? That was us! And that nagging sore throat? Us too! So I just want to say thanks. Thanks for giving us a home and helping us help you get sick.
Don't let germs take up residence in your CPAP system. Evict them with SoClean, the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs in minutes. For a limited time, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-400-1154. SoClean is completely hands-free. There's no water, chemicals, or disassembly. The secret is activated oxygen. It flows through your system, destroying bacteria, viruses, and germs in no time. Call SoClean.com to get your risk-free 30-day trial while supplies last. Hurry, call 1-800-400-1154. 1-800-400-1154.
Tired of tossing and turning? Tired of staring at the ceiling all night? I have a solution for you. The Bedroom Store has invented a mattress called the iZone Bed. This mattress takes all of the best technologies and puts them into one mattress so you get the best night's sleep ever. 14 different water chambers that are filled and then never touched. They are designed to match specifically with your body and your sleep type. They're then stuffed inside a memory foam mattress, and on top of that is a mattress that keeps you cool. The cooler the temperature, the better you sleep. The results are amazing. To find the iZone bed, you want to go to the Bedroom Store. 14 area locations invented by Denny Boyd, a St. Louis company. The Bedroom Store and the iZone bed. Your best sleep possible. The iZone bed at the Bedroom Store or thebedroomstore.com.
This is Larry Connors, and I think I drove by your house the other day. It looks great. But I noticed you might have some shingles missing and maybe some other roof damage. Take a moment to call my friend John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Take care of it before everyone else starts calling, before the thunderstorms start pounding us. That way, next time I drive by, I won't have to worry. I'll know your home is protected. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Introducing Pizza Hut's new $5 flavor menu. Any two or more of your favorites at just $5 each. It's Pizza Hut's best deal. Only at Pizza Hut.
Weekday mornings at 6:35. Scott Crothers from Stifel Nicolaus with insights on the markets and investing. And for your own personal financial review, call him at 314-292-6201 and listen weekday mornings at 6:35 here on the Big 550 KTRS.
On this side of the law.
Sorry I took so much time with the police thing, but it really bugs me what's happening to them.
It's important for you to say that.
Well,
I'm glad you did.
Time to talk a little legal talk here. Scott Sherman's on board. The phones are all lit up. I've given the numbers. I don't even think I need to give them again. We'll be lucky to get through these. So let's just jump right to it. We will give you Scott's email address in the course of this and at the end of it, in case you need to get a hold. We start with Barb. Barb, say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Barb.
I'm aiming the PM.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
I have a question about pensions and benefits from pensions.
Pensions, like somebody's pinching your butt at work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I wish.
Okay. You wish? Well, come down here. We can take care of that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I work for a quasi-government agency in St. Louis, and they have a rule of 75, which is your age plus years of service. And upon retirement, if you choose to take an early retirement, you get a pension plus your medical benefits paid for. And the people in HR say that if you get a full-time job somewhere else and you are not allowed to, if you are offered medical benefits at this new full-time job, well, what I was hoping is I could go to this other job and not take medical benefits and stay on the medical plan where I'm getting my pension.
Okay.
I want to collect my pension early and just keep those benefits.
All this kind of pension stuff and benefit stuff is contractual. Either you're part of a union or there was a collective bargaining agreement where the members of that union were vested or were given certain rights based on that negotiation, or you made some agreement, some contractual agreement with your employer, and it goes by the terms of the agreement. What you should do before you make any moves is have an employment lawyer look over either the collective bargaining agreement that you're subject to or the contract that gives you these rights. They can be changed, but there's also some provisions, exceptions, and trigger points that you don't want to step on a landmine. So before you make any decisions, I would talk to an employment lawyer, get the documents together, and see if that hurts you, because it sounds like you're concerned that if you make a move, you might lose a benefit.
Right. And one of the problems is going into the private sector, I'm guaranteed a job until I'm six, you know, I'm guaranteed a job forever at this place. But if you get into the private sector, of course, then there's layoffs and that kind of stuff. And then I won't be able to go back and collect the insurance once I lose it.
We live in, I assume you live in Missouri?
I live in St. Louis. I live in the county, but this would be a local.
When you go in the private sector, you are in what's called at-will employment. But when you're in this quasi-governmental agency place, you either have some sort of collective bargaining agreement or some kind of contract, and you don't want to mess up those rights by making a move. So my advice is talk to somebody who specializes in employment law. Look at all of what may happen if you just make that move. And before you make the move, pay the lawyer a couple $100 and then make an educated move.
It would be money well spent.
Oh, it's crazy not to talk to a lawyer before you have a problem.
And Barbara, I want to get some other calls, but we're going to give you Scott's email address, and he'll be happy to recommend somebody who can look into this for you. Go ahead.
Office of Scott Sherman. @gmail.com.
Okay, thank you very much.
I got a great employment.
Good
guy.
Luck. I love your voice, Barb.
You know, most thank you.
Women, most women to me, their voices are very attractive to me. You know what I'm saying? It's not the case with men, I don't think.
No.
And women listening to them. But most women's voices I find very sexy, like pleasant.
I do too.
Let's talk to Betty. Betty, say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hey, Scott. Hey, everybody. AM and the PM.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Okay. I know you don't want the whole evening to go with the conversation that you just had about the jerk. But my question is, if the woman would have followed up with it, would the police have had to tell her that it was a private detective following her?
That's a good question. If he had said, I'm a private detective, are the police obligated to tell her that? That's a great question.
No, what they can tell her is, we have investigated this, ma'am, and I can assure you that that person is no risk to you.
There you go.
And that would be what a professional person would do. Have you ever, Betty, know anybody or been involved in an ongoing criminal investigation? Yes or no?
No.
Okay, I can tell you, as somebody who's represented a lot of victims and been the victim of crime myself, they don't tell you what they're doing other than to tell you something is going on because they don't want to screw up their investigation. So they don't want to put this guy in a bad light, but they want to reassure the alleged victim there is nothing, ma'am, to be concerned about.
And I'm like you. I think the guy was there. There's other words to describe him. But
don't say those on the air.
He was definitely in the wrong.
Yeah. All right, Betty. Thank you for the call. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Frank.
Okay. See, do you hear that?
Mm.
Thanks, Frank. Mm. There's almost an invitation to her voice. Steve, say hi to Scott Sherman. Steve.
Hello. Yes. Hello. Hello.
Say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Steve.
AM and the PM.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
This question is regarding the affluenza teen.
Mm.
And what I'm wondering about is I think if I were a judge or a jury, that the best attorney in the world couldn't convince me that to give this kid a light sentence because he's affluent. And I was just wondering if you have any idea how that could have happened.
I don't. I have just recently as last night studied the insanity defense for different states, including Missouri, Illinois, Colorado, where the Aurora shooter and the Columbine kids were. And none of those rules, and they're very difficult to establish, fit this fool, this selfish, spoiled jerk, and what he did responsibly. I don't know what that judge was thinking. I've never heard of any kind of theory like this before. It doesn't match any known or codified mental illness defense. Maybe it might mitigate some kind of sentence, but it is a bunch of bull.
Anyone,
it's a
bunch of
nonsense.
I can think I know where Steve's headed with this and what he wants to know. And I want to know it too.
Yeah.
When a judge makes a completely ridiculous decision like that, isn't there somebody who can step in and go, No. We're going to, in whatever the term is, veto it, take it away from you, give it to another judge. I guess you can't do that.
Not really. But what this judge, and I'm not going to defend that judge, but what judges do when criminal defendants are in front of them and they're either found guilty or they plea, is they look to see what punishment would best fit this particular case. And in very large numbers of first-time offender cases, that person is put on probation when it's a nonviolent offense. So whether it's an affluenza defense, I don't see that as a way to exonerate someone from their conduct. It might have been part of some crybaby plea to give this guy probation. Once somebody's on probation, if they screw up, then the hammer falls.
So, Steve, the real problem we have is not that he came up with his name, affluenza, and used that as the excuse or the reason for the judge. The problem is the actual sentencing, which, whether it's one person or 10 that he killed, Leonard Little, for example, it's probation. And that's really the problem.
And a product in large measure, Steve, of sending the wrong people to the wrong place. Jail and prison is full of people that need different kinds of help, and the ends up being overbooked. And then when it comes down to, and this is tragic and horrible, the real criminals that really need to go, we're overcrowded. That's the problem. The real people that commit horrible offenses or are real horrible people, they oftentimes get a break because some fool that should be in a mental hospital or should be getting treatment somewhere for some nonviolent drug offense is taking their space. Yeah. And that's wrong, too.
Steve, I hope that helps. Does that help?
It does. It was just baffling to me how that possibly could have happened.
Well, you and the rest of the whole country and world.
It's garbage.
Yeah. All right, Steve, hey, thank you for the call.
All right.
Thanks for listening. I got another one in, right? Or two, maybe. Let's go to Sean. Sean, say hi to Scott Sherman.
That's Scott, aim in the PM. Frank.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Scott, I have what I think is probably an easy one for you. Are children responsible for deceased parents' debt?
No.
Deaths? Children being under 18?
Is this one you want to
know? No. Like, I'm a child. I'm a kid of a parent, and when they die, am I responsible?
I'll play amateur lawyer, then I'll give it to Scott. Here. Yeah. No. Go ahead.
That's right. Frank's right. No. The estate of the decedent might have debts that the creditors might want to go after, but that doesn't run to the kids that haven't vouched for or co-signed on that particular debt. So if you go to probate court and they say that the car note is due and so-and-so credit card company wants to make a claim on the estate, that has no bearing on the kids other than there might be less left over.
Okay, but you brought up a good point. Let's say they leave you the car. The car's not paid for.
That's right.
Now, if you're going to keep the car, you have to pay for it.
That's right. You don't get a free car because your pappy died.
Right.
But no, these things don't follow in perpetuity through intestacy or through the descendants.
Okay. Thanks very much.
All right. Thank you, Sean. Now we're out of time. Before we hit the theme music, Scott, thank you. And by the way, for people who don't know Scott, I've never seen you in a tie. Are you going to the Oscars Academy Awards? For you, this is really dramatic.
He may have been in court.
I'm not going to a funeral, but I'm available for one this afternoon.
You're for hire? They need mourners? Somebody had no friends?
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
My uncle always says, save six friends.
That's a good idea.
Care
you know
you
what?
That's right.
Think about the guy on Craigslist who made himself available for the holidays to mess up somebody's holiday. What about I'm available to mourn for somebody who knows their dad? Everybody hated their dad. Hire
a
couple
filler.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah, hire a couple people. Get them. Go. He was the greatest guy I ever knew. Yeah. All phonies. Hit the theme music if you would. Scott Sherman's email address. Go ahead, Scott.
Law Office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
And we will do this again next Thursday. Thank you, Scott.
Thank
Scott
you, Frank. I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
I've learned so much by sitting here every Thursday, and hope you have, too. Here's somebody else you'll learn some stuff from. Two somebodies. Mark Reardon and Jason Becker. Mark and Jason. Every one of you listening, well, most of you listening, have thought about retiring. Now, if you're really rich, I guess all you have to think about is, am I going to be on a yacht, or am I going to spend most of my time in Belize or Aruba? That's the kind of stuff you were. Most people, though, think about it. I've been thinking about it since I was 35 or 40 years old. I'm still thinking about it. One of your major assets, whether you're 20 or 30 or 40, is time. It's also the thing you cannot control. You cannot buy more of it. You can't slow it down. You can't stop it. It's time. And the more of it you go through, well, the less of it you have to plan. So the sooner the better. If you need some help, if you have $25,000 or more, I have this website, markandjason.com. That will put you in touch with Mark Reardon and Jason Becker. There was Stiefel Nicholas. Stiefel is a member SIPC, NYSE, the NRA, the ARA, the SBA, AARP, and so much more. Just kidding, but they are a member of those first two things. These are a couple of guys who have been doing this for a while, and it cannot hurt even if you have a financial advisor. Again, markandjason.com.
Meet me.
Get a quick check on traffic right now. Here's Tim White.
Stalled tractor trailer cleared westbound 70 at 270. The accident cleared eastbound 270 at New Halls Ferry. Still jammed up solid now from north of Dorset on southbound 270 through Big Bend. And this report is brought to you by KFC. KFC's popcorn chicken nuggets are made with 100% white meat because 110% white meat is mathematically impossible. KFC, it's finger looking good. I'm Tim Weiland from the Big 550 KTRS Traffic Center.
When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy for you to create your stunning website. Go to Wix.com and create your website today. It's easy and free. That's W-I-X.